Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics, coming to you today from Abu Dhabi. I'm here at the ACFE conference supporting SECE's Academy, which will be taking place in Dubai in January. I'm joined today by Hossam El Shafel from RSM Consulting, who's one of the speakers and participants here. Hossam, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
It's my pleasure.
And why don't we start by giving your background? You have a very interesting one for someone in the compliance arena.
Right. Most of my years of experience is in non-for-profit organizations. I have over 15 years with USAID around the world, and another about 20 years with the United Nations. And in between, I was doing consulting, helping banks and private sector and public sector organizations in building up good compliance frameworks and oversight functions in general, internal audit, corporate governance, risk management, and so on. Recently retired from the UN and joined RSM Consulting in Egypt. And now I'm 100% of my time is spent on helping organizations and setting up good risk management, compliance, and governance systems and internal controls.
Now, you mentioned that you're technically based in Egypt, though most of your time you said, told me you're spending in Lebanon. You've worked throughout the region. You know, what are some of the things that I think it's important for, that you think, I'm sorry, for any multinational looking to operate through this region when they go in?
I think the major challenge for any international organization or multinational organization is culture. Organizations have to learn a lot about culture of the geographic areas where they're going to do business at. Because again, as you know, I'm a fraud examiner, I'm a certified or authorized CFE exam course trainer, and as well, part of the work I used to do and I'm doing right now is fraud prevention and detection. So whatever, you know, there are a lot of things that could happen in the U.S., for an example, and it's good to go, but it's not in the Middle East, for an example. Or things are prohibited in the U.S. or in Europe, but it's okay in the Middle East because the culture is different. And you must have heard about the word bakshish, all right, in the Middle East. It's a common thing, all right? But I, in my opinion, that this is now has evolved to the riot of taking bribes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being switched to, instead of giving someone as a volunteer something for helping you or serving you, something extra. Now a lot of people take it as a right to do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you don't get the service you want. Right. And that's the part, you know. So would you pay for a service that you should be getting anyway? Or you'd be forced, or you'd be volunteering to do in order to get an edge over somebody else? Like standing in a line or a queue to pay for an invoice, mm-hmm. right? In the culture here, you could talk to someone on the side or pay someone on the side to get you to the
front of the line.
Front of the line. Uh-huh. Is that ethical to do? You're taking the rights of other people in doing so. But it's a common thing in the Middle East. You may not see that as a common thing in the U.S. or in Europe, but it is here. So any multinational has to learn about these things before coming to the Middle East, for an example, in order to draw the line on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and how ethical it is, and how can they do something but it's still to be ethical in doing it.
And one of the things, you know, as we talk about culture and when you come to the Middle East, I think it's important to note that the Middle East isn't one country. It's a lot of different countries with a lot of different cultures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You move from a country to a country, and some countries in the Middle East, you see the tribal culture has to do a lot with the way business is run, and a lot of family-owned businesses, and where the family are the only people running that business, and they don't allow others to come in. Some other Middle Eastern countries are a little bit more open to have others come into managing their business. So it is different from one country to another. If we talk about Egypt, for an example, it's different than if you come here to the United Arab Emirates, different than if you go to Lebanon, for an example, where it's more open and exposed to, has a lot of Western, you know, ways of doing business. And so on. So it is different from one country mm-hmm. to another, although it's called all the Middle East or the Arab region and so on. But business practices are different from one to another.
Now, you mentioned the whole bribery anti-corruption issue is one risk area. Are there other risk areas that are notable that people should be thinking about? I mean, I've heard that, for example, sanctions is much closer to an issue here, especially those towards Iran, given that it's not far away, it's very close, and there's long standing histories of trade off.
In my opinion, you know, is the, again, we go back to the culture, you know, and mostly the family businesses. So sanctions in businesses are not consistent and not applied as equally. And this creates a problem in applying good governance and good, say, whistleblowing mechanism, or when you get a complaint or you get an allegation and you investigate, and then the disciplinary action is taken afterwards, is not consistent in applying it. And that creates a lot of problem in the Middle East in general. And I was talking yesterday in my session about developing incentives also for whistleblowers, for those that reports and so on. And incentives for companies and businesses that are performing ethically. Mm-hmm. You need to give benefits to those so you can encourage organizations to work ethically and to develop framework inside the company to encourage transparency, to encourage whistleblowing. But again, it all goes to the tone at the top. If the tone at the top is not set right, then the whole business falls apart.
Now, you mentioned whistleblowing. I just sat through a session. You did a great job moderating on whistleblowing. One of the things that actually struck me is, for all the talks of different cultures in different parts of the world, that same conversation could have been had in a conference in the U.S. or Europe. I mean, the same issues of getting people to come forward, avoiding retaliation. You know, am I right in saying it's largely similar in that regard? And to me, it opens up the suggestion, the question of, are there some things that people from outside the region come in expecting are going to be vastly different, but they're actually kind of the same?
I totally agree with you. If the structure is not set properly, again, for whistleblowers to speak up, all right, most of the people will see the wrongdoing or the unethical behavior, and they will not speak up or not say anything about it. The main thing to encourage. Mind you, also, there are a lot of organizations that have written documentation about how to go about these things, but they're not applied consistently and properly to encourage whistleblower to speak up. And most of the organizations talk about the systems and the policies and procedures, but the part that lacks more of a structured process is how to protect the whistleblower himself or herself after they speak up. Everything else is taken care of except that part, and that one is one, in my opinion, one of the major points that does not make the whistleblowing systems work perfectly, because people fear the retaliation, and retaliation is not monitored in most of the organizations, or a whistleblower come up with a complaint and see nothing happens, and so on. So you need, as we just said, you need transparency. You need open door policies. You need to have employees participate in decision making and setting up the policies and procedures, because then they buy into this policies and procedures, and it's not imposed on them. And then they know that it's okay for them to speak up when they see something wrong, and nothing will happen to them. You need to set up the tone and the system and the appearance and the approach and so on, that they see if someone speaks up, they're not retaliated against.
Great. Well, it's interesting, because it is just a challenge the world over, and I think the advice you're giving is true for anyone operating here or anywhere else in the world. Well,
right.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk today during the conference. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SECE, saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.